Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want to read to you this morning as we look at what we celebrate today in our country, Memorial Day, a day of honoring those who've given their life, those who are serving, and we are grateful for that freedom, and I do not belittle it, but in light of what Christ has done about an eternal freedom, not just a temporary, I want us to look this morning and remember Him, and that He gave His life for our betterment, according to the will of the Father, and submitting Himself and drinking of the cup of death and sacrifice. And obviously that wasn't the end of the story, but His resurrection, and He is alive. Turn to the person next to you and say, He's alive. He has risen from the dead, and Jesus is the Christ. I want to take a moment, and I want to read to you from Hebrews chapter 11, because it talks about those who've had faith. Let me ask you this question. What is worth dying for? What is worth dying for? Who is worth dying for? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the assurance." In other words, we're convinced. We're convinced. We're assured of things that we have hoped for. That is faith. Faith is that substance of what we hope for. And maybe consider the things that you hope for. And I don't mean just temporal things. I mean eternal things. What is it you hope for? Do you hope to go to heaven? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence, the proof, the convictions of things not seen. I mean, do you see heaven? Have you been there? The assurance of things hoped for. We're assured. We know, we believe, have faith. That is the substance. That is the concrete evidence within us of what we hope for without yet seeing the manifestation of heaven in our life. Knowing that heaven is, always has been, and one day through Christ and our faith in Him, we shall behold Him face to face. To behold the one you have hoped for and longed for, that you've called out for, you've cried out for. To behold Him. To see Him. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. Their faith. They died before they saw the fulfillment of what they had faith for. They were commended to keep faith all the way until the finish line of their life. Not even knowing when the finish line was, but enduring in faith. I want to tell you, don't lose hope. In your struggle and wrestle with life and trying to fight the good fight of faith and calling out to God, and you feel like your prayer wasn't answered, and you look at life and you look at the circumstances, and from our perspective, we think we have it all figured out from our view, as if our view is all truth. As I've said before, He sees the whole parade at once. You and I only see what passes before us in the moment. And His perspective is greater. His ways are above our ways. What do you say we put our trust in Him who knows? It said, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the spoken word of God. So that what is now seen was made from things that were not seen. He spoke them, and they were. How much more His written, spoken word of eternity in Christ and freedom from sin and a power to overcome in this life, how much more then is it true? Because that which we see was created from that which is invisible. Can we believe in Him who is not visible to our eye and yet know the concrete evidence in our own heart and conviction that He is and always was, always will be, and that He shows up in our life and our hope brings assurance. Our faith, it's the evidence of things we do not see. Let creation be a proof in itself where we live that God is. And that which we hope for, according to Scripture, is therefore true. Because creation is true. I want to read to you this verse in Hebrews 11:13, same chapter. Because as the chapter goes on, it begins to list, well, what, you know, we kind of coin as the Hall of Fame of Faith, all these people of Scripture that we've read about, what they did, and their faith was counted to them as righteousness. Though they did not see how the outcome was, they knew the Word of God, and therefore lived according to it, and expressed their faith in a world sometimes that did not believe, and among people that did not believe. And it says this, that these all died in faith, not having received the things that were promised. I want to take this morning those who have given their life, not just who passed away holding faith, but those who gave their life for the sake of the gospel, endured persecution, even unto death. There are so many. And we now live in a day again where there are people in this world who are going through that. Our brothers, our sisters in Christ. I want to just highlight a few of the apostles. James, the brother of John. Accusations were brought against him about preaching the gospel, and of course those accusations were true. But an interesting thing happened, is that the man who brought the complaint against John, or against James, the brother of John, the man who brought the accusations against James and brought him before the tribunal court, they were going to behead James. And so what happened is, on the way to his beheading, the man who brought him to the tribunal seat, history says that this man was so convicted and so moved by James' faith that on the way to James' beheading, that the man himself professed Christ. The man who brought him to be judged and to bring a sentence of death to him was so convinced and so convicted and so moved by James and his faith and by the work of the Holy Spirit that on his way he professed Christ and he asked James, please forgive me. What have I done? And the history says that James paused and he looked at him. And he said, peace to you, brother. And he kissed him. And they went and were beheaded together. To preserve the truth of the gospel, to protect its doctrine, and to preach its truth. To preserve, protect, and to preach. Go and make disciples of all nations. Thomas, he preached to about 7 people groups that they can record. It was probably more. But he was martyred in India. Simon, the brother of Jude, James the Younger, he was crucified by an emperor, Trajan. Simon the Zealot, he preached in what we would know as Britain and in Africa, and he was crucified. There's some different history about the way that Mark, the first bishop of Alexandria, the apostle, was martyred, but the truth of the fact is that he was martyred. In one account, they say that he was burned. In another account, it says, and there's probably a little more proof for this, that he was dragged through the city on a rope to near death, and then they stopped, put him in jail for a day to see what Nero's response would be to such an act. Nero did nothing. And so one day later, they took it as approval to persecute and kill Christians. And they dragged him again through the city to his death. Those who gave their life to preserve, protect, and preach the gospel, of which we enjoy. The gospel by Jesus left into the hands of 11 to carry out, imperfect men, to carry out the gospel that we so richly enjoy in the inerrant scripture, that it still is being preached today and changing lives because he is alive. People who gave their life for the cause of the gospel. We have people who give their life and lay it down in battle for what we call freedom in this world. But there are those who gave their life so that the hearers could go free. Us, hearers of his word. Bartholomew preached in India. It is said that he translated the Gospel of Matthew into their language. And then he was beaten, crucified, and then they beheaded him. Matthew translated his gospel to Hebrew. He preached in Ethiopia and in Egypt. And by order of the king, he was lanced with a spear until dead. James, the brother of Jesus, religious leaders took him to the top of the temple, and he began to preach Christ from there, and they pushed him off. When he fell, the fall did not kill him, but he slowly came to his knees and called out to heaven and began to pray to God. Say, God, I beg you, please forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. Sounds like a prayer we've heard before. He prayed the prayer of his master. He prayed the prayer of a saint who fell before his time, Stephen. And as he began to pray, they were coming and they were going to stone him. And one of the religious leaders said, what are you doing? Don't do this while he's in the middle of a prayer. And a fuller came with a rod that they used to beat a rug with and came and hit him on the head and died. All because he preached the truth of Jesus Christ. Salvation by faith and not by works. Andrew. I want to take a moment and read to you about Andrew from Fox's Christian Martyrs of the World. I'll tell you, if you do not have this book in your personal library, I encourage you to get it. A Book of Martyrs by John Fox. I want to read to you segments of this. Andrew, Peter's brother, preached to, and the list goes on. He was crucified by Agius, the governor, and buried in Archaea. When Andrew, through his diligent preaching, had brought many to faith in Christ, Agius, the governor, asked permission of the Roman Senate to force all Christians to sacrifice to and honor the Roman idols. Andrew thought he should resist Agius and went to him, telling him that a judge of men should not know and worship, telling him that a judge of men should first know and worship his judge in heaven. While worshiping the true God, Andrew said he should banish all false gods and blind idols from his mind. Furious at Andrew, Agius demanded to know if he was the man who had recently overthrown the temple of the gods and persuaded men to become Christians, a superstitious sect that he had recently been declared, that has been declared illegal by the Romans. Andrew replied that the rulers of Rome didn't understand the truth. The Son of God, who came into the world for man's sake, taught that the Roman gods were devils, enemies of mankind, teaching men to offend God and causing him to turn away from them. By serving the devil, men fell into all kinds of wickedness. And Andrew said, after they die, nothing but their evil deeds are remembered. The proconsul ordered Andrew not to preach these things anymore, or he would face a speedy crucifixion. Whereupon Andrew replied, I would not have preached the honor of the cross if I would fear death upon it. He was condemned to be crucified for teaching a new sect and taking away the religion of the Roman gods. Andrew, history says, going toward the place of execution and seeing the cross waiting before him, never changed his expression, neither did he fail in his speech. His body fainted not, nor did his reason fail him, as often happens to men who are about to die. He said, O cross! Most welcomed and longed for, with a willing mind, joyfully and desirously, I come to you, being the scholar of him which did hang on you, because I have always been your lover and yearned to embrace you, the cross. I look at such conviction in those who have gone before and given their life for the sake of the gospel, which for the most part for us is foreign. Oh, you may have been made fun of for being a Christian at school, or maybe at work, you know, a little ostracized. Maybe people just kind of blow you off and stay away from you, or maybe call you a name or two. Such conviction of these people, that the lost would hear the freeing truth of what Jesus has done. And those who are bound in religion thinking salvation comes by works, and we know that the gospel says it doesn't come by the works of a person. It comes by faith in Jesus Christ alone. And that no one goes to the Father in heaven except through faith in Jesus Christ. You and I are to be the living church. Jesus with skin on. And I look at times my safe, secure, comfort, and sloppy life. And I'm not being condemning towards myself. I'm just telling you that there are moments, and I'm sure that in believers that we honor and we read about, they probably felt the same at moments. Fighting this with that spirit and flesh within us, to do what's right, to do what we're called to set aside other things for the sake of the gospel, that those who are lost could hear and be saved, or those who are lost could hear and make their own decision, trusting that the Holy Spirit would draw them and the seeds of the gospel would be planted in their life, to give their life for that. because Christ gave his life for them. They knew him, they saw him, they ate with him, they watched him, they prayed with him, they shared the Passover and First Communion with him. And I look at decisions I sometimes make. Oh Lord, that I could be submitted and die daily for the sake of pleasing you, becoming like you, being willing and being obedient, whether it is dying for the gospel or until then living for it. Whether we are martyred or we pass away or we're caught up in the rapture, it's about finishing the race with diligence. They sang a chorus earlier, and Joshua in the chorus stopped and paused and said, they overcame their adversary, the devil, this life, persecution, everything that is against the believer. Overcame them by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and finishing the verse, and they probably didn't include this in the chorus because they couldn't come up with the words to finish the verse that would move melodically through the song. Wow, that was a big word for me. See, the last part that we find in that passage in Revelation is that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they love not their own life so much as to shrink back from death. You and I are called to die daily, to pick up our cross and follow Christ. Where is my conviction? Where is our conviction? To live the gospel, to reach the lost, preserve the purity of God's word, protect it and watch our doctrines soundly, and yet preach the gospel with power, that signs and wonders should follow. I want to tell you this today. This is what I mean. That you and I in our life should read his word and we should live our life according to it. Oh yeah, but you know, I think this is a better idea. I'm telling you that God will show up. God honors his word. He keeps his promises. He will work on our behalf. We may go through hardship. We're supposed to endure, the scripture says, like a good soldier. Hold to his word. It has stood the test of eternity past. Creation is a proof of the power of his word to create and do that which is unseen, to make visible. And I tell you that the word of God is true. And it shall not return to him empty or unfruitful. We are to read it, we are to speak it, we're to follow it, we're to submit to it, we're to uphold it. We are to let this produce the character of God in our life to endure all things. It doesn't mean go and smash people with it. It is the power of his love, his grace, his mercy. The weapons we war with are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds in people's life. I have watched, I have seen, and so have you. But I have seen through time and ministry to speak the word of God, to show the gospel to someone who is bound up in all kinds of things, whether it is demonic, whether it is the works of the flesh, whether it is doubt, whether it is past experiences, whatever has held them. And I've watched them respond to the love of God. And I've watched it melt those things away. I've watched people get free. Free indeed. All because his word is true. Make his word a priority. I must make his word a higher priority than all else. Do it. Oh, I'm uncomfortable and I'd like to do this because then I can kind of get, you know, my cake and eat it too, and I think this is... Listen, I'm telling you. Feed on this. His word. Honor it. Honor him. Honor Him. Honor Him. Honor Him. Honor Him. Believe His word. You're in a tough circumstance. Believe His word. Read it and hold on to it. You have anxiety about something? Turn to His word and read it and fill yourself with His word. You are filling yourself with His Spirit who has inspired this word. And His Spirit will begin to take away your anxiety. You will have peace. And you can walk into hard circumstances that you know are coming or the one that's around the corner that you haven't seen yet. And we will face hardship. But I'm telling you to hold to the faith because you will be commended. Hold faith till the end. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, it says. Let's honor and remember those who have given their life. That you and I can walk into this place, and there's a couple of Bibles, two or three or four, depending on the size of the pew. There's two or three, four Bibles sitting right in front of you. Because there are people who died for it. Christ gave His life for it. There are people in history who died for it, who fought against the religious false teachings and brought the truth of Christianity and what Jesus said and what He taught and what He's still inspiring us to become and to do. I need His Spirit to carry out the mandate. To carry out the mandate. To preach the gospel to all creation. Go and make disciples of all nations. Let's make good on the grace given us by Christ, the giving of His life, His resurrection power, and those who have gone before us and given their life that you and I so freely can still enjoy the written word of God in our hand, in our pews, on our coffee tables, on our nightstands, on our desks, little calendar flippies with the scripture for the day. All these things that we so enjoy. Let us not pass up the meal that has been set before us and given to us in His Word.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.